stop kissing and touching me? I can't, babe. I've missed you so fucking much. Everything in that apartment reminds me of you, and having the dog didn't help.
I told Tony to take him.
Oh, I kept him.
Shocked, she almost laughed. Why?
He buried his face in her soft, silky hair, loving the scent of her strawberry shampoo.
He was all I had left of you, and I didn't know how to let go. I didn't want to, either.
That had her backpedaling. The combination of his words and his relaxing touches, that were, unfortunately, still managing to feed her craving for him, had her melting into the mattress and calming. It was nice to know she wasn't turning frigid.
It's not enough that you missed me, Connor.
Oh no. Oh no.
Unable to stop himself, he slowly lowered the zipper on her dress.
Connor, no.
Please, babe. I need this. I need to touch you.
Lightly, he ran his fingertips along her back.
If you know it's not enough, then why are you here? On the off chance that I might be up for a one-off shag?
After a deep, preparatory breath, he spoke.
You remember I told you that my sister died? What I didn't tell you was that my dad killed her.
Her head instantly whipped round to face him, her expression one of shock.
He used to knock my mum, me, and Selena about all the time. One day when she was 11, he took it too far. My mum and I walked in as he was finishing her off. He was so smashed he didn't even realize how much damage he'd done.
That's why you hate him so much, she whispered, recalling the times she'd tried to get him to stop wasting energy on hating him.
He nodded.
The reason my mum found it so easy to dump me onto social services when a boyfriend asked was because she couldn't bear the sight of me. She said I looked too much like him. I reminded her of him. And I had his temper. You know what? Before that, she was a good mum, a good person. What he did just messed her up. He messed up her life and mine, and worse, ended Selena's. I was terrified she was right, and I was like him, that I might have it in me to hurt a kid or a woman or mess up people's lives.
So you decided not to have a family?
I didn't cry when Selena died, you know, or when my mum dumped me. I came close, but never did. I don't ever remember crying much as a kid. I thought if I couldn't even cry when my own sister died, then I couldn't have really loved her. And if I couldn't love my own sister, then I was someone who just couldn't love at all. That was what I reasoned.
She really wanted to say something. He had just told her some major stuff, had just confided in her to an extent that he never had before. But nothing came to mind.
I'm not telling you so you'll feel sorry for me or to soften you up,
he stated as he kissed his way along her spine.
I just want you to understand that the reason I tried to keep things casual wasn't because I didn't care about you. I honestly didn't think I could give you anything more or feel anything more.
He slid his hand under her dress and palmed her ass.
But as it turns out, I've been a blind prick.
She couldn't help but close her eyes and moan as he clutched and massaged her ass. She'd missed him, and missed his hands on her. Then his words filtered through her. Blind prick. He glided his hands along her inner thigh, loving the way she quivered, and slid his finger past her thong and between her slippery folds.
Jesus, babe, you're already wet for me.
Stop.
The protest was so weak she might have slapped herself for sounding so pathetic if she wasn't cuffed to the bed. So caught up in the sensations, she couldn't even open her eyes.
Connor, don't. I told you I can't move on if you walk in and out like this.
I don't want you to move on. You're mine, Jax. You always were.
I belong to no one.
Wrong.
He slipped his finger inside her. Her walls gripped him and moisture coated his finger. He thrust his finger in and out at a leisurely, teasing pace. Her low moans were eating at his control.
I worked it out, Jax, the way I hate you being away from me. The way I can't stomach the thought of anyone else touching you. The way sex is so different with you.
He draped himself over her and peeled up her dress.
I'd convince myself I was just addicted to you. But you know what, Jax?
He snapped her thong, ragged off his belt, and shoved down his pants.
The truth of it is, I love you.
Then he slammed himself home, groaning at that blissful, familiar feeling of her muscles clasping him like a vice. She'd forgotten just how much he stretched her, forgotten how good the burning and stinging felt. The bliss of it all almost distracted her from the conversation. You... what?
I love you.
Thrust.
You're mine.
Thrust.
And you're not leaving me ever again.
Thrust.
I really am so sick and tired of trying to live without you.
Thrust. He then raked a hand in her hair, brought her face to his, and began roughly pounding into her as he ravaged those sensual lips. His longing for her, everything he felt for her, spilled out of him in a furious, manic pace that was punctuating everything he'd said.
I've missed this.
Oh my God, she moaned into his mouth. She couldn't keep quiet. She was moaning, groaning, whimpering, and coming dangerously close to crying with the perfection of it all. She probably should have been doubtful about a bloke suddenly claiming that he loved her, but she knew Connor well enough to know that if there was one thing he would never lie to her about, it was that. And the knowledge that he loved her just made this all the more amazing. Every ruthless thrust was a stab of pure bliss. She was burning from the inside out, heading closer and closer to her orgasm. Her noises were killing Connor. He wouldn't last much longer, not when he'd been starved of her for so long. He slid a hand beneath her and palmed her breast before sliding it down to her clit. He teased and circled it with his finger, and she sobbed into his mouth.
That's it, babe, isn't it? That's what you like. Tell me you love me. Tell me, Jax. I need to hear it.
I love you, she rasped.
Tell me again.
I love you. Feeling her climax closing in on her, she cried, Connor, I'm going to come. He roughened his pace and pounded harder.
Scream my name for me, babe. Now.
He pinched her clit and Jackson was gone. A violent climax like nothing she'd ever known before crashed into her and rippled through her reverberating, frenzied body. The combination of her walls closing in on him and his name escaping her lips in a scream had his dick practically detonating, his cum fiercely jetted out of him.
Fuck!
It wouldn't stop. His cock seemed to just keep pulsing inside her, filling her with every last drop he had. Then, totally and completely sated, he collapsed beside her and nuzzled his face in her hair. When he could finally form a sentence again, he murmured,
I'm sorry I took so long to sort my head out.
Was all she managed in response. She heard him chuckle, and then there was a lot of fidgeting and bouncing of the mattress. Then her arms were free, and next, her legs. She still hadn't moved when he joined her on the bed, not even to retract her arms. She was utterly spent and had no real intention of moving just yet. Connor snuggled against her side and played with her hand, kissing it and fiddling with her fingers.
I knew it would fit.
She frowned.
It fits.
Lazily opening one eye, she gazed at the hand which he was still fiddling with, and the white gold diamond ring that now surrounded her third finger. Instantly, both her eyes were wide open. Connor? She swallowed hard. What are you doing? Connor's lips twitched in amusement at the way she spoke to him in a calming tone, like he was an insane person who might need to be talked down from a frenzied state.
I picked white gold because I know you like it better than yellow. I wanted to get you a big, bulky diamond, but I knew you'd never wear it. But no chance was I going to get anything as understated as you would have chosen, so I'd say that's a good compromise.
What the hell was the mental bugger doing? Connor...
I wanted to ask you while I was in my favorite place.
He slipped a finger inside her, indicating what he meant.
But I figured that if I did that, You would think I'd only asked you because I got carried away while we were shagging.
He brushed his lips against hers.
I admit, I do get carried away when I'm inside you.
If this is some sort of gesture...
No, no gesture. I'm 100% serious.
But you just told me about why you never wanted any of this.
I also told you I've been a blind prick.
He maneuvered her so she was fitted against him, face to face, chest to chest.
I love you, Jax.
Kiss.
And I want to marry you.
Kiss.
And I want my kids to grow right here.
He stroked her stomach gently.
And if you say no, I'll put the cuffs back on and keep them on till I can get you to change your mind.
He wasn't kidding. I didn't end this because I wanted you to ask me to marry you. All I wanted was to know that it could happen one day.
Good. We're ahead of schedule, then.
She was so tempted to relax into him and the moment, but she couldn't quite get her head around this complete change of intentions for the future from permanent bachelor to committed husband and dad.
I don't want you to force yourself to do this and then end up changing your mind later.
If I wasn't sure, I wouldn't ask you, would I?
Technically, you haven't asked at all.
Realizing she was right, he smiled.
Marry me, Jax.
Not that she really had a choice. He wasn't living without her. He couldn't.
You're sure this is what you want?
Positive. The question is it what you want as well?
As the seconds dragged on and she remained silent, he was about ready to panic. But then her lips curled into a cute little smile that plucked at his heart.
Yes, you dick, she whispered.
Without missing a beat, his lips landed on hers and he took her mouth in a soul-wrenching kiss. In record time, both their clothes were off and he was inside her again. It had started off slow and sensual, but the fact was they just weren't slow people. Before long, he was hammering into her at his usual feverish pace that they both reveled in. And then she was screaming his name while he was growling hers. They were still panting and shuddering with the aftershocks when her mobile began ringing. As she was comfy, sprawled over Connor with him still inside her, she didn't bother getting it. But then it rang again. And again. Huffing, she reached over the bed to where he had dumped her bag and dug out the still-chiming phone. It was Ollie.
Hello?
Jackson, there's, someone here who says you know them and wants to, see you.
Who? Her mouth dropped open wide at his answer. She sat up abruptly.
Where?
In the reception area, but if you want to do this and you want some privacy, we can meet you in my room.
All right. I'll be 5 minutes.
What is it?
Asked Connor the second she finished the call. She didn't shout her answer until she was in the bathroom. He swore at the news and jumped up. As she locked the door, he stood outside it.
Why wasn't your response fuck off?
Little more than 20 seconds later, she was back in the bedroom, redressing, with Connor following her about the room like a lost kitten.
What happened to my shoes?
Jax, you don't have to do this,
he said as he quickly threw on his own clothes. Stop panicking.
I don't want you upset.
Who says I'll be upset?
Her pastime was upsetting you.
I'll be fine.
Finding her shoes under the bed, she slipped them on. Now fully dressed, bar her thong, which Connor had destroyed, she made her way to the door.
Babe, you don't owe her this,
he told her as he followed her out of the suite toward the elevator.
She left you.
So did you, she said softly and non-judgmentally. And I've just said I'll marry you. If I can do that, then I can give my sister 2 minutes of my time, can't I?
He supposed that was a fair comment. He hated that it was a fair comment. He was still tormenting himself over leaving her. But this was Leah they were talking about, The one who had spent years picking at Jax's self-esteem until she didn't even see herself as the beautiful person she was, inside or out. What's more, she was the one who had let Jax think for the past 8 years that he'd spent their time in foster care shagging Leah, that he'd loved Leah. What he knew now was that even back then, he'd loved Jax. It still ticked him off knowing that she'd spent all that time they'd been apart angry with him and believing that of him. And it was all Leah's fault. He wasn't exactly surprised that she had reappeared now that Jax was a celeb. Nor was he all that surprised that she hadn't come earlier. She had probably spent the past few months resenting Jax and being bitter as hell. Obviously, she had now calmed down and was ready to use emotional blackmail or some other technique to get herself money or something. And he absolutely despised the thought of Jax being manipulated or used. He just wanted to sweep her up and take her back to his suite. As they reached the door to Ollie's suite, Connor sighed.
If it was the other way around, she'd tell you to sling your hook. You know that, right?
Connor, calm down before you hyperventilate. I'll be fine. I'm not 14 anymore.
He combed his hands into her hair.
Are you sure you want to do this?
I'm sure. Now move.
It was only seconds after she knocked on the door that Ollie opened it, looking as awkward as he'd sounded on the phone.
Why don't you go in? Mackenzie and I will wait out here.
Connor huffed.
Oh no, I'm going in with—
No, you're not.
And with that, Jackson swung the door shut. Taking calming, steady breaths, she strolled leisurely through the suite. She found Leah in the small kitchenette, washing out a coffee mug. She looked so different. It shouldn't have been such a shock, considering it had been years, but the transformation was pretty dramatic. Her long, straight blonde hair had faded to a mousy shade and was just above shoulder length. She'd put a little weight on and actually had boobs. Jackson never thought she would ever see Leah look smart, but she did in that black pencil skirt and lavender blouse. Not like a businesswoman, but like a housewife. Jackson flicked a glance at Leah's left hand, and there was both an engagement and wedding ring. Whatever she'd expected, it hadn't been this.
Oh my God, said Leah as she turned.
Usually when you saw a celeb up close without the abundance of makeup or camera tricks to hide the blemishes, they weren't as stunning. But Jackson was even more so. She could see the apprehension and hesitation in Jackson's eyes, and it broke her heart. Leah knew it was only what she deserved, though.
Hi.
All right, Jackson greeted quietly. How've you been?
Good, actually. You?
Jackson nodded.
Yeah, great. You look really well.
What are you doing in Australia?
I live here. Me and my husband migrated here a few years ago. I couldn't believe it when I first saw you in a magazine. My baby sister.
If there was one thing that Leah had never referred to Jackson as before, it was that. My sister, yeah, but the affectionate, my baby sister, never. What do you want, Leah? A fond smile crept up onto her face.
Still blunt as anything. I think you were born blunt.
She drew in a long breath and exhaled slowly.
I'm not here to ask you for anything, but I don't blame you for thinking I might be. Actually, I want to show you something.
She dug into her pocket, where she'd placed the item she was anxious to show Jackson. Still apprehensive, Jackson took what was a photograph from Leah's outstretched hand and looked at it. Whoa.
He's the image of you. He's got my nose and Alan's eyes. Alan's his dad, my husband. But the rest, those chocolate curls, the olive skin, it's just you.
She was right. This little toddler looked exactly as Jackson had when she was that young.
His name's Riley. He's adorable, but he's going through the terrible twos right now, so he's driving me up the wall. You know, he's got so many of your expressions. He really looks like you when he's upset. and it makes me think of all the times I put that look on your face.
Tears welled up then.
Jackson, I'm here to say sorry.
Instantly, Jackson's head snapped up. This was unexpected, to say the least, and she couldn't help but feel suspicious. Her instincts told her she didn't need to be, but still, she was a little.
I know you probably couldn't give a damn, but I am. I was messed up over what Mum did. I know that's no excuse. She was your mum too, and you didn't let it turn you into a bitter cow. But I was nowhere near as strong as you, and I'll admit I was jealous of you for that. And for how people seemed to automatically like you. It always amazed and frustrated me that you could have been the most popular girl in school, but you didn't want any of that, whereas me, I wanted it so badly. I needed to feel liked. I can't explain why. I envied you so much, and I hated myself so much, and, well, I was a bitch. You might not believe it, but I hate myself for it, Jackson. I really do. Because I did and do love you. Every time I look at my son, I think of you and how I treated you.
She trailed off as the tears finally flowed over. Words failed Jackson. First Connor's appearance, followed by the I love you, and then the proposal. Now this. Hearing her sister had come here had been surprising enough.
What I said about Connor, again, I was jealous. He never showed any interest in me, but you, he'd have done anything for you. I'm glad that you two got together.
She gestured to the beautiful ring on the hand that was holding the photo.
I take it he gave you that?
Jackson, still utterly speechless, just nodded.
Congratulations.
And she meant it.
I won't lie and say I planned to come and see you. It wasn't until I knew you were in Australia that I really thought about it. I was just so ashamed of myself. I hadn't even told Alan you were my sister, and I didn't want to have to tell him why we'd lost touch and why I was too scared to try to see you. But then I broke down one day and told him everything. He convinced me to come, said if you were anything like the person I made you out to be, then you wouldn't turn me away without letting me talk to you.
How long have you been married?
4 years now. He's kind of a handyman. Electrician, plumber, computer expert. Geeky, really.
She laughed.
Never thought I'd fall for a geek.
No, I didn't see that coming. But then I never would have thought I'd have gotten into modelling either. I'd always thought that if either one of us was going to be a celeb, it would be you. Smiling, Leah waved away the comment.
I was never going to be famous. I just craved attention so badly. It was pathetic, really. I'd never have been secure enough to survive that world. One critical comment and I'm thrown. Not like you.
She braced herself for a snort.
This might sound stupid, but I'm proud of you. It must be weird for you to hear something like that from me, or any kind of compliment.
I'm glad everything worked out for you. I can't believe you're a mum.
I panicked when I found out, whining to Alan that I didn't have a maternal bone in my body. But I'd like to think I'm doing a good job, not making any of the mistakes our mum made. Keep that photo. I've got thousands. I can't stop taking pictures of the little bugger.
Bracing herself for the rejection she deserved, Leah went to Jackson and offered her a slip of paper.
That's my address and phone number, just in case you ever feel like getting in touch. I know you'll probably be too busy to visit, but...
She literally sighed in relief when Jackson took it.
My email address is on there too, just in case you use email more than phones.
I'll want more pictures of Riley emailed to me, said Jackson with a smile. She laughed, and it was dripping with relief.
Like I said, I have thousands. I can send you loads.
She squeezed her sister's hand tight, hoping this wasn't the last she ever saw of her.
Take care of yourself, Jackson.
Jackson nodded.
You too.
At that, Leah grabbed her handbag and left the suite. Jackson just stood there staring at the photo, engrossed by the sight of her nephew, who could easily pass as her son.
Jax.
She turned toward the voice, It was soft, cautious, concerned, as was Connor's face. He had no need to be. She felt a million times lighter. She hadn't realized how much her strained relationship with her sister and her lack of answers as to why it had ever been strained had affected her until now. That 14-year-old girl in her was high as a kite. Connor McKenzie loved her and had proposed. Leah did love her and was happy for her. And that was why Jackson could do something she'd never been able to do before. She flung herself into his arms, wrapping her legs around his waist, like the young girl in her wanted. Epilogue. 5 years later. She was going to kill him. Jackson was going to kill him. Maybe one day she would be able to understand why her husband liked to ignore her, but that definitely wasn't today. She stormed through the kitchen of their house and out the back door. Then she trekked through the grassy land toward where Connor was darting round crazily on his mini racing track on a quad. Wisely, he slowed his speed when he saw her nearing and then parked the quad, but she could see his body shaking with a muted laugh. "Something funny?" she asked through her teeth, hating the fact that even while she was planning how to murder him and hide the body, she couldn't help admiring and desperately wanting said body. Seeing that frustration was practically steaming from the woman he loved, making her look as provocative as ever, Connor decided it might be in his best interests to remain sitting on the quad for just a minute.
"Now, Jax, babe."
"Oh no, do not think that will work with me. Not only are you supposed to be helping me get everything ready, but I've asked you time and time again not to put her on that thing if you're going to go all kamikaze."
"But, Mummy,"
whined 3.5-year-old Isabel, who sat snug between her daddy's legs.
"I've got on my helmet, and Daddy wasn't going that fast."
"Not going that fast,"
echoed Jackson in a quiet voice filled with disbelief.
"Maybe we were going a bit fast,"
admitted Connor sheepishly.
"But do you honestly think I'd drive at a speed like that if I didn't think I could control it?"
He knew that wasn't the point, and her facial expression said just that. But the fact was that their daughter loved a good adrenaline rush and had absolutely no fear, something which concerned Jax but made him proud as all hell.
"I remember when it was you I used to drive around, and we went a lot faster than that."
"Oh yes, I remember your misspent youth and how petrified I was that you would crash."
"It's all right, Mummy. I'm fine. You don't have to shout at Daddy."
Jackson shot her a sweet smile.
"I'm not shouting at him, Angel. I'm just helping him here."
Knowing there was only one thing Isabel loved more than the quad, Jackson asked,
"Aren't you coming to give Ferrari his dinner? I can do it if you want."
The little girl practically leaped off the quad. Jackson had tried to get Isabel to name the puppy something normal, but as she was as obsessed with cars as Connor, there was no changing her mind. She skipped ahead of Jackson and Connor toward the house, her dark curls bobbing all over the place. Connor wrapped his arms around Jax's shoulders and kissed her cheek.
"Yes, I'm sucking up to you because I don't like being in your bad books."
He trailed seductive kisses along the curve of her neck.
"I like it better when you do the sucking, though."
She laughed.
"You say that with such desperation, as if I didn't do that just last night."
"It was torture when I smelled that coffee this morning. It just reminded me of last night. I love it when you suck me off while you're having a hot drink. Maybe once Izzy's in bed, I can make you another coffee."
"I liked it better when I cuffed you to the bed frame."
She began shaking with giggles.
"That wasn't funny. How would you like waking up to find that you can't move?"
"Just a little payback."
She'd teased him for a full half hour from head to toe before making him come.
"You should be thankful I didn't spank you as well."
"One day you'll admit you like that."
No sooner had they stepped inside than the doorbell rang. He swatted Jax's ass.
"You get that. I'll help Izzy with the dog food."
Jax opened the door to find a very pregnant Anna and a flustered Warren on her doorstep. Clearly, they'd had a tumble just before leaving their apartment.
"Hi, get your asses inside. You're the first ones here. Anna, sit down. Warren, make yourself useful and help Connor set the barbecue up.
Warren saluted her.
Yes, ma'am.
He hasn't done it yet?
Asked Anna.
The racetrack was more interesting, grumbled Jackson.
Anna smiled at the stunning little girl who was emptying dog food into two bowls, one for Bronte, one for Ferrari.
Hello, Iz. Are you helping your mummy like a big girl?
She responded with a solemn nod. Although she looked uncannily like Jackson, she had her dad's serious expressions. She also had Jackson's entrancing eyes, which meant that she could wrap just about everybody around her little finger, especially Connor. He worshipped the ground the child walked on, just as he did Jackson. Next to arrive was Dane, Nikki, their 6-month-old baby boy Lewis, and Little Dane, who told Jackson that he didn't want to be called Little Dane anymore because he was 5 3/4. As usual, he followed Isabel around like she was a guiding light. As usual, Isabel didn't seem to notice. 10 minutes or so later, Ollie and Louisa, who had been seeing each other for the past 5 months, arrived. Then shortly after that came Richie, Tony, Lily, and Aunt. They all made a humongous fuss of Isabel.
You know,
began Ollie to Jackson, who was in the kitchen getting the salads and pastas ready.
Most kids would lap up that kind of attention, but your Izzy always shrugs it off. I wonder who she gets that from.
I can't imagine.
I asked her what she wants for a birthday this year. You should probably know she wants a baby brother.
Jackson nearly choked on the slice of cucumber she was munching.
Well, that's a big progression. Last time I asked her, she said a goldfish.
When did you get the puppy?
When she reached exactly 3 1/2. You know what Connor's like. Any excuse to buy something.
Ollie never thought when they first met that he would ever be of the opinion that Mackenzie was good enough for Jackson. But the bloke had proven himself again and again, and he had even won over Richie and Tony. The world followed their relationship even more closely than before, and the rate of celebrity Elvis weddings rocketed after Jackson and Connor married in Vegas. The only complaint Ollie had was that the pair still threw too much sexual tension around. They were even doing it right now with their heated gazes while they stood at the barbecue grill. Dane inhaled the dreamy smell of the burgers, kebabs, sausages, and steaks as they sizzled on the barbecue rack.
I'm famished. So famished that Ferrari's dinner is starting to look real nice.
Blame Connor about the delay, said Jackson. He looked at Connor.
Does that mean you were too busy playing on your track with Izzy? I still can't get Dane anywhere near a bike or quad. He's not into cars either. He likes golf, DVDs, and chocolate. That's the extent of his world.
Jackson smiled. He's got very good taste in food.
What she wouldn't give for some chocolates right now. And girls. She gestured toward Little Dane, who was chasing Isabel round the garden while Ferrari and Bronte yapped playfully at their heels.
Just like a mother, sighed Connor. Always got males chasing her.
He received a scowl from Jax for that.
She's going to break hearts when she's older, said Dane.
The kid really was a little stunner, which was hardly surprising considering her gene pool. He couldn't help smiling as he turned to see Connor curling his arms around Jackson's front and kissing her nape. Dane was feeling very chuffed with himself. He'd played an extremely big part in his mate having all he had now. He'd even helped organize the wedding well before Connor even knew he was going to propose. Their Vegas wedding had to have been the most hilarious experience of Dane's life. Nothing normal about it, not even for Vegas. And now Connor no longer stood all alone when they were at a party. Looking at him now, no one would have thought he was a bloke who hadn't wanted marriage or kids. He was in his element, more settled than Dane had ever seen him. The only time there had ever been any anxiety was when they were told Sean Beckett was being released from prison. But then he violated his parole conditions by coming near Jackson and was now back in prison where he belonged.
Only 3 more people left to come, said Jackson.
I don't even know why you invited them,
grumbled Connor.
Don't be a D-I-C-K, she said with a smile. And try not to snarl this time.
I didn't snarl last time.
Yes, you did. Just like you did at our wedding, and Izzy's christening, and Izzy's first birthday party, and Izzy's second birthday party, and—
All right, I'll try not to snarl.
Dane chuckled.
I wouldn't get your hopes up if I were you, Jax.
Connor looked at him, brows raised.
You'll have to remind me when it was that I said you could call her Jax.
Oh, for God's sake, Connor, she groaned.
He twirled her around, pulled her tight against him, and spoke against her lips.
You're my Jax, no one else's.
It was definitely a mistake, aligning her body to his, but he doubted it was a mistake he'd learn from.
Why not just pee in a circle right around me?
I might have to, actually, just to stop Ferrari from doing it anymore.
At the sound of the doorbell and the puppy barking, Bronte still didn't bother with barking. Connor had to swallow back a sigh.
Go on, go let them in.
The second she opened the front door, Riley dashed in and hugged her legs.
Auntie Jackson!
She scooped him up and kissed his cheek.
You're getting so big. Oh no, I'm the biggest boy ever,
he added as he spread out his arms. Hi, Jackson said to Leah and her husband Alan, who was very geeky, as she gestured for them to follow her inside.
How was the flight?
And then she heard a squeal. Oh bugger, what's she done? Jackson raced to the garden to find Isabel laughing hysterically on the ground.
She tried to ride Bronte again,
said Connor with a sigh. The dog had bucked all over the place like a rodeo bull, just as Isabel had known he would. He held their daughter up high above his head and tickled her sides, wrenching delighted squeals of laughter from her.
You have to stop giving me heart attacks.
So she's still got no fear, then,
giggled Leah.
None,
confirmed Jackson. Leah nodded at Connor.
All right, Connor.
He simply nodded back and gave a similar greeting to Alan. Jackson rolled her eyes while Leah hid a smile at his attempt at civility. She doubted he'd ever forgive her for the fact that Jackson had spent 8 years of her life despising him, and Leah could understand it. That was why, although Jackson's home, and what a gorgeous home it was, spacious but modest and cozy, had room for them to stay, Leah, Alan, and Riley always stayed in a hotel when they came to London. She didn't think it would be fair to make Connor feel uncomfortable in his own home. Leah preferred that Connor was so protective of her sister. That was the way it should be. Looking at them both now, cuddling, though it was obvious that Connor was making lewd suggestions into Jackson's ear, she didn't think she'd seen a couple so well suited. After giving Isabel a big cuddle and kiss, Leah approached Jackson and handed her a little gift-wrapped box.
I know you didn't want us to bring you anything, but there was no way I couldn't get my baby sister a present.
I told you not to, groaned Jackson.
Actually, said Anna, we did too. I stashed it in the living room.
So did we,
admitted Dane. Ollie, Louisa, Richie, Tony, Lily, and Aunt all nodded guiltily. Jackson gaped and shook her head.
I said the only way I was having a birthday party was if it was nothing big and fancy, if there were only a few people, and if there were no gifts.
Connor had to smile at the look on her face. She'd always felt awkward accepting presents from anyone. She was great at giving them, just not receiving them. It made her feel uncomfortable. He was just relieved that she was actually celebrating her birthday properly again. Although he'd been able to get her to privately celebrate her birthday over the past few years, she hadn't had an actual party before now. If she had thought about Matthew at all today, she'd never once shown it.
We don't have you a secret birthday present upstairs hiding under my bed wrapped in silver paper, Mummy,
declared Isabel, shaking her head. Connor groaned at the little girl balanced on his arm.
We don't have an even bigger secret one hidden under yours and Daddy's bed either.
All right, Iz. You can stop now before that big vein in Mummy's head bursts.
And we didn't buy you a big, massive secret cake either.
As Connor watched Jax's face slowly become a disturbing shade of purple, he didn't know whether to laugh or wince.
"And it's not a secret chocolate cake, Mummy, I promise."
Jackson raised a brow.
"Chocolate?"
He nodded.
"But if you don't want the chocolate cake..."
"Let's not be unreasonable," said Jackson. "You've obviously gone to a lot of trouble getting me a cake, so I don't see why..."
His tight, one-arm tug and firm kiss cut her off. Isabel's face scrunched up.
"Yuck."
"I love you, you mental bitch,"
he whispered into Jax's ear.
"And I love you, you dick," she whispered back. "Shall we sing Happy Birthday, then?" called out Lily as she brought out the huge cake lit with candles.
"No, no singing," insisted Jackson. But they sang. Bloody sods. This concludes From Rags by Suzanne Wright. Narrated by Emma Wilder. Copyright 2012 by Suzanne Wright. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Suzanne Wright and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.